In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Do you believe there is no room for evil in good? Are good and evil really direct opposites? Or does good need evil in order to help what is righteous to express itself? I read a quote once that said, "In order for the light to shine so brightly, the darkness must be present." Does God's love really need to depend on its dark counterpart in order to be expressed? The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans 12 today, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." So evil not only has no place in good, but good is what completely overcomes evil. The Apostle Paul says that what is truly virtuous actively dispels evil. And this is grounded in love. God's love and God's goodness. So God's goodness most certainly overcomes evil with love. God's goodness most certainly overcomes evil with love. Look out though. This love may be more than you can handle. It may cause you to come face to face with selflessness and personal sacrifice you may not be willing to contemplate. Paul is not speaking of a romantic love or an erotic love or the love you might have for pizza or candy. He speaks of the divine love that his fellow apostle John wrote of as being God himself. For God is love, as 1 John 4 says. God's love has characteristics that go beyond our ideas of fairness and security. It involves a sacrifice our sinful flesh never wants to make in its pursuit of self-preservation. Paul first speaks about what this love looks like within the Christian fellowship. It is the love that dispels evil, that prevents broken relationships between brothers and sisters in Christ, and in their place solidifies and promotes the union we share in Christ. When one can abhor what is evil and hold fast to what is good, as verse 9 says, a selfless humility is in play. And this causes one to see it as a privilege to honor one another above ourselves. Knowing that this is precisely what Jesus has done for us, bringing about our salvation. This love is God. We know that love often is not us. We know how we look sidelong at our fellow believer and wonder how he could possibly take that position on social media. We know how often we, smile and say the pleasant good morning at 8 or 10:45 and then say something quite different about that same child of God at the lunch table at noon. Let love be genuine, Paul says to us in verse 9. We also know how even when we want to love our fellow member, we don't quite put the energy or find room on our busy schedules. Our reading says, be fervent in spirit. But this love does exist within the family. This love is between you and me, brothers and sisters in Christ, who have been made aware of this love through the gospel and the work of the Holy Spirit. This love is how Christ has loved you. Genuinely, fervently, honoring you above himself. And then your words and actions reflecting this attitude do become a witness and encouragement as we call one another a family in faith, bearing one another's burdens. But if you thought that this was the end of it, you would be wrong. Paul takes this a giant step further and tells us what this Christian love does with those outside the faith. Outside of the fellowship that we have here in Christ are those who do not know this love of God. They do not see evil and good as polar opposites. Therefore, they might not choose to treat you the same way as we are called within the church to treat one another in response to our faith. And in fact, you should expect it. But what is your first response to that? Maybe it is, well, then I'm off the hook. If they are not in tune with this kind of love, then it's likely they will be blind to it and pursue hostility. And if push comes to shove, I have the right and excuse to avoid them or to strike back and claim a revenge when this love isn't returned to me. That sounds reasonable, doesn't it? And we have seen that a lot lately. When it comes to how people is dealing with racism and politics in the middle of a pandemic. But Paul tells us, bless those who persecute you. Repay no one evil for evil. Instead, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. And in a moment you conclude, what? That's not fair, Paul. You are right. It's not fair. But do you know what it is? It's love. It is love. And love does not seek fairness. This is the love that is God. It is the love that saved you, who would also be the persecutor of Jesus without it. The persecutor of Christ himself if you didn't have Jesus in your heart. Christ's love did not seek after fairness. That wasn't even considered. This is the very love demonstrated in the person of Jesus. The action of responding to evil with good is what will heap burning coals on his head, as verse 20 says. And this metaphor explains the driving force of everything that Paul is saying here. Repaying evil with good is so opposite a human retaliation and is instead a divine response that brings a sense of shame and a change of mind that leaves powerless the evil of the persecutor. Did you know that many Muslims who come to faith in Christ report that this response from Christians is what demonstrated the genuineness of Christian faith and led them to repentance and to be received into the family of God? They tell us they have never experienced this kind of love in their lives before receiving it from a Christian. In 1948, a Lutheran pastor was kidnapped by the communist government in Romania because of his proclamation of the gospel of Christ. He would not reject his faith. And as a result, he spent the next 14 years being tortured in prison. Yet, it was during these years that the pastor's faith, though tested, grew stronger by God's grace. What happened there was amazing. He came to pity his prison guard's dark world. His first 3 years were spent in solitary confinement. Kneeling on the concrete prison floor, the pastor prayed to his Heavenly Father. The prison guard was all too eager to remind him that praying was against the rules. And so the pastor was dragged out of his cell and beaten, particularly on the bottom of his feet. After he was put back in his prison cell, the prison guard checked on him through the small peephole in the door. And to his amazement, the pastor was back on his knees in prayer. Dragged out of his cell once more, he was beaten severely. This happened a third time, and yet a fourth. And in total frustration, not knowing what else to do, the prison guard exclaimed, "What is wrong with you? You have nothing. What are you praying for?" And the pastor looked at the eyes of the guard and responded, "I'm praying for you." While communism had stripped the prison guard of all humanity and human care for another human being, it was God's love through a child of God that could restore that prison guard. Dear friends, this is the love Christ bestows on you. This love forgives you of your failure to return good for evil. It is the same love that is the very character of Jesus and why he responded to the persecution of the world by staying on the cross and allowing evil to destroy him, resulting in our atonement, providing forgiveness. This is how God crushed evil with virtue. The good that is love. The good that resurrects the Christ. The good that is God. There is no room for evil in good. And Jesus has settled this once and for all. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.